applauded for the rest. Now is your time to be blessed. And for your faithfulness, it's your time.
Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a blessing, truly a blessing, to have this privilege to speak to you at this time, and I pray that you count it a blessing to be able to listen to the word of Almighty God. For that is what this session is about. It is about lifting from the pages of the Holy Writ the word of Almighty God into my ears and your ears, and into my heart and your heart, and into my life and your life, that we may prosper thereby, that we may obey God, that God may be pleased with us. Oh, how wonderful is our God. Wonderful beyond compare. Almighty God is wonderful beyond compare. Wonderful beyond compare. I call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The reading begins at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, bless us in this service. Father God, bless thyself by helping us to become all you would have us be. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Charity, which means love. Charity, which means love. Charity, which means love. Our definition of charity today is giving somebody something, being generous. But the true meaning of the word charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not just love, but a love that is of God. It ends with saying, but the greatest of these is charity. Reminds me of the fact that he who gives love is the greatest, and he is love. And so if we look at love from the perspective of Almighty God, we begin to see that truly God, who is love, is the greatest, And the greatest of these, faith and hope, but what is greater is love. And some people have it half right when they say you only have to love people and God will be satisfied. If you have the love of God in you, not only will you love people, but you will love righteousness. You see, that's where the ungodly get it wrong, and that's where the false prophets get it wrong. They say, well, just love everyone, and that takes care of it. And many of them have no appetite for righteousness, for holiness, for sanctity, or for sanctification. And so they go out, and they go on their lascivious ways, doing those things which anger God, and pretending they are angels of light because they use the word love. Love, my friends, is more than just doing what you want done. But love is feeling not only the care of other human beings, but love is also imbibing the very spirit of Almighty God. No matter how much you say you love, if you do not have the spirit of Him who is love, the greatest lover of all times, Almighty God, the greatest lover, who could have made the sun and not made a tree, not made any wind, not made any rain, and you could be walking down here on a parched earth in torment. But His love gave us the cool breeze. His love gave us trees. His love gave us the water and the cooling rains. He is a God of love. He is not a God of torture. If you end up in torture, that is a scenario that you created yourself because you disobeyed Him. But He wants to love you with the love of God, the greatest love of all time and the greatest love of all eternity. Come to the source of love. Come to the fountain of love. Come to Almighty God. Your good works cannot get you into heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, while not specifically mentioning good works, talks about doing things and being nothing. You could turn that around. I wrote a sermon one time called Love or Be Nothing. Love or Be Nothing. And this love must be the love of God. Either have the love of God or have what you do be almost worthless. The Bible says worthless. For it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Giving your body to be burned could look like love, but you must have the true love, the love which is from above. You must have love from above. Some of you have the love from beneath, which is selfish love, which is love of expediency, which is not really love at all, but you try to make it sound like love. But you're more concerned about yourself than you are about others. You're more concerned about your needs and what you want than about what God wants. And that is characteristic of an unsaved person. Jesus told of a man who died and went to hell. And he was concerned because he said he was tormented in that flame. And he saw Father Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. And he prayed to Father Abraham that he would let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and touched his parched tongue. And he said, the man in hell said that he was tormented in those flames. He was thinking of himself. He was not thinking of anybody else when he was on earth. Apparently he thought of himself because he was characterized as being a rich man. So apparently he thought of himself because before he died, there was the contrast of Lazarus being poor and needing and the rich man not helping. And then we see the picture of the rich man in hell asking for help from the poor beggar. When Abraham informed him of the nature of the universe and that it was not possible for him to get such help in hell, then he began to pretend, and maybe he meant it, and Jesus didn't go into this when he told the story, but the man started out with a selfish request. Then he said, well, send them to my father's house. I have brethren. He told how many brothers he had. Tell them, don't come to this place. Well, maybe the man wanted Lazarus to really tell his brother. Or maybe the man was trying to cop a plea and say, let me go back there. Because then he said, after Abraham said no, he said, but if one who had risen from the dead went to them, they would believe. Sounds a little, I'm suspicious of that man in hell. I'm suspicious that he was trying to con his way out of hell, that he wanted to be the preacher himself. He wanted to say, well, let me go back to my father's house. Just let me out of here. He started out with a selfish request. And then he came up with a request that seemed to be caring about his brothers at his father's house. But I'm suspicious of people who ask for themselves first and who don't consider others first. Why didn't he say first, go tell my brothers, don't come here? No, his first request was a selfish request. Let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue. His second request to me is a little suspicious in that I kind of understand crooks, understand con men. Sounds to me a little bit like a con game. Now maybe it wasn't, and the Bible does not say that it was, but I'm suspicious of his love, quote unquote, for his brothers. I'm suspicious. What kind of love was that? I don't know. Maybe it was a kind of love. The question might be, well, is there love in hell? In hell, did that man have a love in his heart for his brothers and that he wanted to send someone back to tell them not go there? Was he caring for his brothers in hell? Well, I will not try to answer that and do not know whether or not it may be answered theologically. But I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious because his first instance was for himself and not for his brethren. Love seeketh not his own. It's not puffed up. Love is kind. Love suffers long. Vaunteth not itself. Does not behave itself unseemly. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now you know Satan has read this chapter 2. He knows what love is all about. Some of you are struggling up mountains because you know that God has missions for you. And Satan has made it so you've had to scrap and struggle. he has hindering spirits, and now you're wondering, well, I've been trying to move myself forward. It's not that I don't love other people, but it's been so hard. The devil makes it hard. He knows God has missions for you to accomplish. He knows that thus far it appears that you haven't accomplished as much as you should have at this time in life. He knows why. Satan knows why, because he has been the object of your opposition. He's been the one who has opposed you and held you back. And so rather than becoming self-conscious and saying, well, I guess I haven't tried to help other people. Maybe you've been struggling against Satan. Satan does that. There are those of us that Satan struggles and tries to hinder, because he knows that we are on great missions for Almighty God. And so don't get it mixed up now. It doesn't mean that you sit down and do nothing and give everything to everybody else, but it means that you love as God would have you love. It means that you share as God will have you share. What it really means is that you get the love of God and you move according to the will of God. That's what I do. I try to move according to the will of God. That's what love is. God knows what should be done. God knows what should not be done. God knows what I should do. God knows what I should not do. God knows who I should help, and God knows who I should not help. That may seem strange to you, but God knows what he's doing, and I don't always know what he's doing. I don't always know what I'm doing, so how can I always know what he's doing? But if I listen to him, if I listen to him, if I listen for his voice, if I am particularly observant of his word, his will, his way, he will show me how to express that charity which is love. He will show me how to love my fellow man. He will show me when to say no in love. He will show me when to say yes in love. He will show me when to help somebody in love. He will show me when to not help somebody in the love of God. And until you become saved, you won't understand that perhaps. But God is always perfectly in the picture. That is, he's standing there watching. He knows, he sees, he's aware. And some of you would say, well, why did he allow such and such to happen? You go back and look, and you observe all the phenomena, all the data, everything that pertains to that situation. And if you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, by and by the grace of God, I believe you will discern why that thing that's questionable in your mind occurred. And you will stop blaming God, and you will stop opposing God, and you will stop trying to punish God. You cannot punish him. You only punish in yourself. You will stop pouting to God by doing evil things, and you will allow the love of God to permeate you. You will allow the love of God to characterize you. You will allow the love of God to work through you. You will allow the love of God to have all of you, and you will find that you love you much better than you ever loved you before, and you love everybody much more than you could ever know or thought you could ever know in the past. That's what the love of God does. It is marvelous. It is magnificent. I call you to Almighty God so that you may have that charity which is love. So that you may experience that charity which is love. So that you may share that charity which is love. But most of all, so that you may live that charity which is love. For it is in the living. It is not just in the giving, but it is in the living. Many of you have given and are giving, but you have not lived it. And you're not living it. Being a child of God is living it. Not just giving some of what you have, but living for the Lord. Loving the Lord with all your heart, all your strength. Loving the Lord with all you have. If you don't love the Lord, you're not His. He loves everybody. But if you don't love the Lord, you are really a failure on planet Earth, though you may be the king of the richest nation or the president of the greatest country. But if you don't love the Lord, you are desperately disadvantaged. And apparently you don't know it. Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Charity, which is love. Charity, which is love. Charity, which is love. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for the love of God that compelleth us, that presses us into your ministry, and presses us along our way. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.